Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday night teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing what do you value most? A spiritual tune-up for the heart in 2021. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your goodness toward us, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, God, that went to Calvary for us and was beat and broken for our physical wholeness, God. Father, I thank you for his perfect blood that was shed to cover all of our sins, God. Father, I thank you for your love for us, God, that you would send your only begotten Son to die for us. And Father, I thank you for how you rewarded him by raising him from the dead after 3 days and three nights, by seating him at your right hand and giving him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for the complete and perfect work that he is completing as he puts all enemies under his feet and preparing a complete and perfect work to hand back to you after all enemies are under his feet and even death is defeated. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Like you think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. Before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say they take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Worship is shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing what you value most. And what you value most is reflected in your heart. What you see as being the most important thing in your life. What you think about the most, what you go to automatically. And whatever that was, before Jesus Christ became the master of your life. It is not just going to go away instantly. It is going to take a deliberate act on your part, intentionally, to study God's word and replace all of your natural tendencies and inclinations and thought processes, to replace all of that old man nature with the word of God, so that your heart is meditating on the things of God and not the things of this world. And that might not seem so beneficial to you, but when you look at what causes disease is stress. And God says that when you meditate on his word, you'll have peace. And that perfect peace will pass understanding to you, right? I would rather be at peace than be stressed and ill and sick and worried and doubtful. And so what we have to do is we have to look at the fact that, yes, we are in the grace administration. What that means is that we're no longer under the Mosaic law, but which is basically the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that went with them for the children of Israel. But we are under a greater law, and that is the law of Christ, the law of love, that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength before we do anything else. Then we're to love ourselves. And the fact is, we can't really love ourselves until we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How we show our love for God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is receiving the payment for our sin by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that was shed for us over 2,000 years ago at Calvary, and by receiving the broken body of his son, Jesus Christ, as payment for our physical wholeness, so that we can be available to serve God, to reconcile the world back to God, to participate in this mission with God, for God, and on behalf of God. And so it requires that our heart change so that we can love God, we can love ourselves, and we can love others. But that has to be something that happens intentionally. That means it is absolutely necessary that you pray. It is absolutely necessary that you fast. It is absolutely necessary that you do good deeds. It is absolutely necessary that you forgive. These things are a part of our spiritual walk so that we can build ourselves up. And when I say pray, that's all forms of prayer. So that's intercession. That's speaking in tongues. That's singing in tongues. That is praying with thanksgiving in your heart and just thanking God for what he does for us. I want to start tonight's teaching in Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is a very familiar verse to those of us who study the word regularly. But this is where it starts, with speaking about how we're transformed as we renew our mind to the word of God. And renewing your mind to the word of God is really simple, in that you're simply replacing what you think, what you observe, what you feel with what the word of God says. And that is what gives us peace. That is what gives us power. That is what gives us purpose. That is what gives us praise. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, I beg you therefore, brethren, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your rational service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it is God's will so that we prove his word. And when we stand on the promises of God and we do what God says, and then we get the promises that God makes available when we follow the instructions in his word, then we are excited about sharing the word with other people because we know it's real. We know it's good. We know it's acceptable. We know it's perfect. And we know we're not circumstance conditioned. We're not conformed to this world anymore. We're not limited to this world. And see, that's the problem. In the world, you can be as talented as you want to be. You can be as strong as you want to be. You can be as attractive as you want to be. And the fact is, there's always somebody out there who's stronger, who's more attractive. There's always someone out there who's more talented than you are, more special. And yet there is no one in the world who's exactly like you. Because, see, you were designed by God for a specific purpose, to get God glory. Now, whether you believe it or not, everyone's going to get God glory. Some of them are going to get God glory as vessels of dishonor. But some of us are going to get God glory as vessels of honor. And that is a part of our decision every day. We get to decide. We get to choose life. God says, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. And then he tells us, choose life, right? So the choice is ours. Now, because God has foreknowledge, he knows what we're going to choose. He knows what we're going to decide. But we don't. And so that's what makes it faith. By us waking up every day and making a conscious, deliberate decision to choose life instead of death. To choose to be blessed instead of to choose to be cursed. And when we pick up God's word and we start studying God's word, the reason we study God's word is so that we can meditate on the things of God. We can learn what to do. To show ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, knowing that this is our rational service, it's our reasonable service, and understanding that it's to our benefit to do so. So now, this next scripture I want to share with you is in line with this. But before I read the scripture, I just want to mention that Proverbs 23:7 says, as a person thinketh in their heart, so are they. So is, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? So as you think in your heart, you are reflecting your thought life in the world. What you manifest and project into the world is what is going on in your head. And this is what Matthew 6:21 has to say. Actually, we're going to be reading from Matthew 6, verses 20 to 21. It says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is speaking about us spending time in prayer, in fasting, in studying God's word, in fellowshipping and ministering to like-minded believers, right? It says, we store up our treasures in heaven, knowing that God is faithful to reward us for praying secretly, fasting secretly, doing our good deeds secretly, forgiving people openly. God rewards us greatly for these things. And moth and rust will not destroy. I heard of a client of mine, one of her uncles, rich uncles. We all have rich uncles. One of her rich uncles owned all of this land and had quite a bit of money and had so much money. The money was hidden in jars, and the jars were placed in the rim of wheels. I guess they were in the rubber part of the wheel. And at some point, someone went down there after he died looking for the money, and they found the money. They found the jars, and they opened the jars, and they tried to pull the money out, and it just disintegrated. The paper was, it was affected by humidity or temperature change or something like this. But that's what it's speaking about here in the scripture when it says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. See, all of those hundreds of thousands, I don't know how much money it was. It was a lot of money. It was worthless because it was hidden and it was in an environment that was not going to protect it, but everything is going to deteriorate over time. And so when your treasures are stored in heaven, they can't be stolen. They're not going to deteriorate with rust or moth, or moths aren't going to eat them. Thieves aren't going to steal them. They can't. Your treasure is in heaven. Then it says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is important because, see, you have to understand that your heart is the seat of your being. It is what reflects what is important to you. So this says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if the thing you value most, and this is the question, what do you value most, is your family, then that's where your heart's going to be. If the thing you treasure most is your antique vehicle or vehicles, that's where your heart's going to be. If the thing you value most is your business or your company, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where you're going to spend most of your time thinking. And if that's your spouse or whatever it is, God is telling you, value me. God is telling you, value my word that I have valued. I've magnified my word above my name. That is what God tells us in his word. And when we value what God values, and then we seek out God's word, we learn to hear God's voice, we understand how God operates based on what he's done in the past, what he's doing right now, and what he said he's preparing to do in the future. And when we treasure that, our heart is going to be where it needs to be in order to please God. And if the first and great commandment is love God with all of your heart, that's the first thing, all of your soul and all of your strength. See, your heart is the seat of your being. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And your strength is what comes from your physical body. And that is what was made whole by the beatings of Christ, right? You have to love God with every part of your being. Now, it's difficult for us to fully comprehend what that means in the context of the grace administration without having an honest discussion that what is grace, right? We know we're not under the law of Moses. We're not under compulsion. It's a greater law. It's a law of love. It is the law of Christ, which says we must love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We must love ourselves, and then we must love others. That is the commandment. It says when we are doing those three things, then we're doing all of the law. We're doing more than the law. See, the law of Christ is greater than the law of Moses, because it forces us to deliberately place God and what's important to God at the center of our life so that we say we're going to please God, we're going to serve God, we're going to trust God, we're going to operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. And the problem with pleasing people and serving money and leaning to our own understanding and operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities is that they're limited. All of the money is going to perish. You're never going to be able to please all the people. That's never going to happen. Your understanding is limited, so trusting in your own wisdom and understanding and knowledge is foolish. And so God is telling us, he's giving us the answer. See, and that's the other thing about studying the Word of God is that It's an open book test. Now, what I want to do tonight is something a little different, and this is something I'm going to be doing personally all year, is basically God has led me to read Psalm 119, the whole chapter. It's 176 verses all year, just doing that regularly, because it is the meditations on the excellencies of the Word of God. And in doing that is going to help you, it's going to help me get to the place where we hear what it means to make God's Word our treasure, what it means to adjust our heart so that we're not in a place of being self-righteous, but we're in a place of desiring to please God, serve God, trust God, and operate in absolute faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to take some time to look at some of the sections of Psalm 119 tonight, so that we can ask ourselves the question honestly, what do we value most right now? Whatever that is, be honest about it, write it down so that you know what is in competition with your love for God. And then make a goal to meditate on God's word in 2021. And start by reading Psalm 119. I'm going to read from the first section. And in Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm. It has sections for every 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in it. And this first section is the first 8 verses of Psalm 119. And this is all about meditations on the excellencies of the Word of God. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." Do you hear the heart of a person who is seeking to please God, to serve God, to trust God, and to do what God wants him to do in these 8 verses? Absolutely. And see, for me, when I was reading through this, I was seeing how God's desire is to take the stony places of our heart and remove them from us so that we become focused on him in such a way that we let him mold us, we let him guide us, we let him lead us. And it says that we're blessed when we are undefiled in the way. And see, every day we have God's grace and God's mercy that is given to us, which is new. God's grace is his enabling power, and it is his unmerited favor. It's all the good stuff that we get from God that we didn't earn. And see, between his enabling power to do whatever he's given us to do and his unmerited favor, all the good stuff, that's enough motivation to do God's things God's way. And then on top of that, he says, "I know you're not perfect. I know you're just flesh. So I'm going to give you new mercy every day too." And that mercy, that is the punishment that you deserve that you don't get, so that you don't have to be in fear. You don't have to allow your shortcomings to disqualify you from doing what God has given you to do, because God's not going to allow you to have such a flimsy excuse. You're not more powerful than God. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to be greater than the power of the blood of Christ to cover your sin and enable you to get back up when you stumble, if you stumble. And then to be humble enough to lift up another brother or sister when you see them stumble and help them get back to where they need to be. But once again, encouraging one another to ponder these things. Look at the next section of Psalm 119. It says, this is verse 9 to 16. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will never forget your word. See, the focus is on God's word, our heart. And God, seeking God. See, we seek God with our whole heart because that's what we value. But if there's anything else sitting in that place, sitting on that one single throne of your heart, then you've got to deliberately move it out of the way, because it's not doing for you what God will do for you. It is not benefiting you the way that God's word will benefit you. And so God's word and your love for God is going to take you to a level of freedom and power and respect that you have never known before. Look at this next section of scripture in Psalm 119, verses 17 and 24. It says, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments. At all times, you rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. See, we are to let the word of God be our delight and our counselor. We meditate on the statutes of God. We meditate on the way of God. We're not like the proud. We're not like the cursed who stray from God's commandments. And we are those who love God. And we just want to get to that place where we live and keep God's word intentionally, deliberately, on purpose. But we have to allow ourselves to grow from grace to grace and faith to faith. And if we ever get to the point where we get comfortable and we feel like we've got it all together, that's exactly when the devil's going to come in and shake us up, because we're not prepared. We took a break. We took a vacation. Remember when King David sinned? It was when he did not go to war with his troops. He was on vacation, right? Look at what it says here in this next group of scriptures here in Psalm 119 from verse 25 to 32. It says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. And grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. See, we want to put our heart in God's hands so that God can enlarge our heart. He can remove the way of lying from us. He can allow us to choose the way of truth. And see, when we get into that place where our focus is pleasing God, we're going to sound like this. And this is not the nature of man right here. What we're hearing is the nature of someone who loves God, who desires to please God, to serve God, to trust God, and operate in absolute faith. Look at what it says in verses 33 to 40. It says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." See, this is one who is faithful. This is one who is focused on God. He's asking for more of God. And see, that's what God is calling us to. When it says the first and great commandment is love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that is us coming closer and closer and closer to God. See, the Mosaic Law was the best that could be done before Jesus Christ paid the price with his broken body and shed blood to restore mankind to original place with God. It was the best that could be done was to measure how far away man was from God based on what he did or did not do, based on what she did or did not do. And so now, for us, it's not a matter of how far away we are from God. The question is, how close are we to God? And then the other question is, well, what do we do to get closer to God? So as I was reading through Psalm 119, I was thinking to myself, goodness, this is the perfect to-do list for how to get closer to God by allowing your heart to be tuned up, in tune, in agreement with God, one with God. Look at what it says in verses 41 to 48. It says, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in your word, and I take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in your ordinances, so shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I will seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes." See, this is a heart that is seeking God and expecting God's mercies to come. See, we can go boldly before the throne of God because the blood of Christ has made us worthy. The blood of Christ has covered our sins. God has redeemed us from sin. He's justified us, made it just as if we never sinned, sanctified us, set us apart from the world, and made it so that we are his children. And so this says, God's mercies are going to come. His salvation is going to come according to God's word. And we're going to answer those who reproach us. We're going to have an answer for them because we trust in God's word. And see, when we have God's word in our mouth, when that is what we are leaning on, standing on, meditating on, we're going to be prepared to be able to be bold with what we do for God. And this is the heart that God is seeking from each and every one of us. And I think just spending time reading Psalm 119 is going to help bless you to see where your heart can go. It's not a matter of our hearts being in this place right now, because this is a pretty refined state. This is a pretty mature believer that, you know, and actually not a believer at all in that, in the New Testament context. This person here does not have the Holy Spirit within them because it was not available. But the heart for God they have. And you can tell by reading what it says here. Look at verses 49 to 56. It says, "Remember the word of your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I did not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I keep your precepts." See, we are not under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of Christ. The law of Christ is a greater obligation because it speaks to the condition of our heart. The condition of our heart starts with answering the question, am I loving God with my whole heart, with my whole soul, and with all of my strength? All of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. Am I loving God the way God wants to be loved? Am I giving God what he wants, which is everything? Because it's all his anyway, right? And then am I loving myself the way God commanded me to love myself? And that's a powerful thing. Almost sounds worldly, right? But it's not. It's godly. Because unless you love yourself, you can't love others. But you can't love yourself unless you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God knows this. So God is telling you, adjust your heart, strengthen your heart. And one of the ways I would suggest you can do that is by meditating on this Psalm 119, especially when you're in a dark place, in a place of fear, in a place of doubt or worry or unbelief. We know that we're not to be in that place, but when we are, because we're human, there are going to be times when we are weak. But God says, in our weakness, say that we're strong. Stand on what the Word of God says. When the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, when we say that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Look at what it says here in verse 57 to 64 of Psalm 119. It says, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. See, and when we read of the earth being full of God's mercy, God says he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. God's sun rises on the just and the unjust. And so when we see how full the earth is of God's mercy to unbelievers, just imagine how full God's mercy is to us who love him, who value him, who meditate on his word that he magnified above his own name. When we get to the point where we treasure the word of God like that, then our heart will be where that treasure is. And that is going to be a secure place for us. It's going to be a place of strength for us. It's going to be a place that secures our reward here, today, and in eternity. Look at what it says in verses 65 to 72. It says, you have dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And see, this is an interesting thing. This reminds me of the verse where it says that the wicked say that there is no God because they continue in their wickedness and they are not chastened. But the word of God tells us to despise not the chastening of the Lord, for the Lord chastens whom he loves. This person here says it was good that he was afflicted because through his affliction, he learned God's statutes, right? And this is a part of our journey in life. God says that all of his children are scourged. There are none of us who are getting through without being scourged. So that we can understand what the difference is to be without God and with God. So that we can understand what the difference is between having God's favor and not having God's favor. So that we can understand the difference between walking in pride and walking in perfect submission to God. See, humility is not something that is embraced by the world, because in the context of the world, it often invites attacks. But we dare our enemies to attack us as we submit to God, because God says that the desires of our heart come from him and they will come to pass. That any devil who tries to come against us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So these enemies fail, and God gets glory when we are confident in that, when we are strong in that, when we're absolute in that, when we don't back down from the challenge of the devil doing what the devil has to do. That's his job. It's his nature. He's got to challenge whether or not you believe, even though he's already lost. He knows he's lost. The question is, do you know he's lost? Do you know the power that you have in you is greater than the power that he has in him? Do you know that? Do you realize that? You understand that? You have the power of God in you. You got to believe that. You got to act like it. You got to walk like it. Look at what it says in verses 73 to 80. It says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your righteous judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let I pray, your merciful kindness be my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live. For your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Let those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless according to your regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. See, our concern is pleasing God. We are not concerned about the attacks of others, those who are trying to discredit God by finding imperfections in our life and disfavor in us and lying against us, etc., etc., etc. And it's interesting because those who are proud, they often have to build themselves up by belittling others instead of simply being who they are. And see, one of the freedoms that we have in Christ is to be who God made you to be, understanding that there is only one you, understanding that God designed you for exactly the purpose that he intends to use you, and that is going to get him glory, and you simply have to allow him to do that. So this last section I'm going to read tonight, well, let's see how far we can get. It says, verse 81 to 88, it says, my soul thinks for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. See, understanding God's faithfulness, understanding that God wants to comfort you, understanding that God is just. See, God tells us to pray for our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us, and to pray for those who spitefully use us. And that's what we're to do. But that was written during the Christ administration. What we're reading here is written during the period of the law. And yet, this heart, this mindset, this position of submission is a blessing to the one who decides to please God, the one who decides that it's not about them anymore and what we value, what we used to value before we put God in the place of whatever we valued most before our heart turned to God. And see, when our heart turns to God, it sounds like Psalm 119. So if you have any question about the condition of your heart, just read Psalm 19. Meditate on Psalm 119. Look at what it says here in verses 89 to 96. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. And see, we're to get to the place where we are so focused on God's faithfulness, on God's design, on God's omniscience, the fact that he knows everything, God's omnipotence, the fact that he's all-powerful, and God's omnipresence, that's who we want to please. I just want to encourage each and every one of you today to spend some time with God and look for God to bless you in a way that you've never seen him bless you before, so that you can come to the place where you know that you are seeking to please God, serve God, trust God, and operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, so that you can be one with him and he can be one with you. And I just want to encourage you right now to replace whatever it is you thought was valuable to you with a heart for God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth today. I thank you for you just blessing someone and touching them in such a way that they draw near and near and near to you, God. Allow them to seek your face, God. Allow them to be one in relationship with you so that you can bless them, you can strengthen them, and you can prepare them to walk into all of the blessings that you have in store for them in the future. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, be ye transformed.